And now, our local Vatican watcher, Joan Lewis, takes a look with me over the events here in the Vatican this past week. Come on in and listen to our chat. Welcome, Joan. It's been a week since we had you in studio last. Lots of things again happening this week, of course.
But Pope, a little quieter than usual.
Yes, yeah. Because the Pope and the Curia have been a week in a Lenten retreat cloistered in the Vatican. And the week actually began last Sunday. Cardinal Francis Arinze, who's the Prefect Emeritus of the Congregation for Divine Worship and the Discipline of the Sacraments, began preaching on the theme of the priest meets Jesus and follows him. What can you tell us about these retreats that the Pope is involved with?
Before I actually get into answering your question, I'd like to tell our listeners, if they want to visit the Redemptoris Mater Chapel, where the Holy Father and the ranking members of the Curia are for their retreat, they can go to the Vatican's website, vatican.va, and when you get to your homepage, on the lower left-hand corner, you will see papal basilicas and chapels. Click on that, and you are offered a fairly wide array of choices, and click on Redemptoris Mater, and then you can take this virtual tour, and it tells you how to do, and it gives you a written history of the chapel, what it means, when it was restored, so forth and so on. So it's a very beautiful, I was there for a visit just a few years ago with members of the press, and you could just kind of imagine how one could reflect in these surroundings, because it's like the Bible is on the wall around you in mosaics, and it's very interesting because actually the retreats date to 80 years ago. Just like Vatican City State was founded 80 years ago in 1929, retreats actually go back to Pope Pius the 11th. And he wanted to celebrate an anniversary, and he wrote a document. He marked the 50th anniversary of his priestly ordination in December 1929, and he wrote an encyclical called Mens Nostra on the promotion of spiritual exercises. And it's got very good content, but I mean, he basically said spiritual exercises are something most excellent. And he said that he was going to, from then on, declare that spiritual exercises become a yearly part of the Vatican Curia, of the Roman Curia's works. And the schedule remains pretty much the same. It has been for many, many years. They, as you said, start on the Sunday evening following Ash Wednesday, Eucharistic exposition, the celebration of Vespers, an introductory meditation, adoration, and Eucharistic blessing. And then on the following days, the retreat master gives three reflections, and there are lauds, there's meditations at 9 a.m. The retreat always ends, obviously, this weekend. It ends the Saturday after it begins. And most people can have an intimate glimpse into what the retreat master preached, because normally they're meditations, their reflections are put together in a book. So, and that comes out, you know, sometime after. So I'm sure that this retreat was very, very special.
Well, going into this retreat last Sunday in his Angelus, Pope Benedict called on the angels to look after him and the cardinals involved in this Lenten retreat.
He did, and he actually began with a reference to the devil because, of course, he referred to that day's gospel passage from St. Mark, which described how Satan tempted Jesus in the desert. And he said, you know, in the desert, a place of trial, the truth of the kenosis becomes evident. And he called the kenosis, of course, the emptying out of Christ, who divested himself of divine form, took on human form. He could not sin and did not sin, but he did subject himself in his human form to trial and was able to share our weaknesses. And so the Pope said, against this dark and shadowy figure who dared to tempt the Lord stand the angels. They are luminous and mysterious beings who are counterpoints to Satan. And of course, he pointed out something that most of us learned as children and may have forgotten, that angel means messenger. And then the Pope pointed to the various times, obviously, you know, in the Bible when we hear the mention of angels. You have Gabriel sent to announce the Annunciation to Mary. You have a choir of angels bringing the shepherds the good news of the birth of the Savior. And then you have angels who announced to women the joyous news of Jesus' resurrection. And what I love is this line. The Pope said, if we were to disregard these beings sent to by God, we would remove a considerable portion of the gospel. I thought that was a very amusing line. So you're right. And the Pope, at the end of his reflections on angels, did call on them to support all of us, faithful, of course, as we in the task of following Jesus. And then he asked the angels to watch over him and all members of the Curia as they would undertake their their annual retreat. So,
Who knows if Pope Benedict was thinking about angels when he was writing his message for youth for World Youth Day.
His message for young people was really phenomenal. I want to commit certain parts of it to memory, to be honest with you. World Youth Day is celebrated every Palm Sunday on a diocesan level throughout the entire world. And so, as we know, last summer, the international one was celebrated in Sydney. But this coming April 5th, Palm Sunday, the Youth Day will be held on the theme, "We Have Set Our Hope on the Living God." And the entire message focuses on hope. By the way, I think in reading this, the message is for youth and it's for the young at heart. The Pope really says some wonderful things. He said youth is a special time of hope because it looks to the future with a whole range of expectations. And he says, when we're young, we cherish ideals, dreams, and plans. Youth is the time when decisive choices concerning the rest of our lives come to fruition and a time when fundamental questions, of course, assert themselves. And then he said, in our search, he called it our search for the great hope, we see that personal qualities, material goods, politics, science, economics, all that, none of this is sufficient to provide the great hope we all aspire to. And he did say if there's a crisis of hope at all, it does seem to affect the younger generations because we live in an environment with so few certainties and firm values and points of reference. This is the Pauline year, of course. The Pope did talk about St. Paul, and he said when St. Paul found himself immersed in troubles and trials, and we know he did, and St. Paul, said the Pope, wrote to his faithful disciple Timothy, "We have set our hope on the living God." Now, that, of course, is the theme for this year. And he said, but for Paul, hope was not just a sentiment. It was a real person. It was Jesus Christ. And the Pope said, if Jesus is with us, then why be afraid? He tied everything up at the end, and he said, some of you might ask me, said the Holy Father, how can I meet him, meaning Jesus, today? And the Pope gave them some advice. He said, make space for prayer in your lives. Take part in parish liturgies. Be abundantly nourished by the Word of God and, of course, the Eucharist. And he said, make choices that demonstrate your faith. And that's, I know, a lot of times easier said than done, but he's right. Make choices that demonstrate your faith. Show, says the Pope, that you understand the risks of idolizing money, material goods, career, and success, and don't allow yourselves to be attracted by these false illusions because, of course, they're not lasting. And he said, don't yield to the rationale of self-interest. And he closed with advice to cultivate love of neighbor and try to put yourselves and your human talents and professional abilities at the service of the common good and of truth.
Well, another significant event that happened last week was rather unusual, and it's quite a sweet story. We go all the way down to the bottom of Italy's boot, to Bari.
Right, on the Adriatic coast. And first of all, for Italians and for people who know St. Nicholas, Bari and St. Nicholas are associated with each other. And there are relics of St. Nicholas in Bari, the St. Nicholas folks, who is also known as Santa Claus, right? Now, there's a Russian Orthodox Church of St. Nicholas, and it was returned to the custody of the Patriarchate of Moscow during a ceremony in the church in Bari. And you had Italian President Giorgio Napolitano turning the keys of the church over to President Dmitry Medvedev of the Russian Federation. Now, it's interesting. The church was built in 1913, but it became the property of the city of Bari in 1937. And it's very near a Roman Catholic church, a Roman Catholic basilica, where the relics of St. Nicholas are kept. St. Nicholas, also called St. Nicholas the Wonder Worker, was born in the 3rd century in Lycia, which is modern-day Turkey. But you had a papal envoy at the ceremony. That was Cardinal Salvatore Di Giorgi, the Archbishop Emeritus of Palermo, who had a message of the Pope. And you had Bishop Mark of Yegoryevsk, who had a message from the Patriarchate. And, of course, we know, going back to, I think it was December, early January, the new Patriarch, Kirill, was elected of the Russian Orthodox Church. So this is a very wonderful move for this to have been done at this time. And it's especially wonderful when you think about some of the words that the Pope said in his message. It began by saying, the Russian people have never faltered in their love for this great saint who has always supported them through moments of joy and suffering. And, of course, the Russian Orthodox and Roman Catholics are very fond of St. Nicholas. And the Pope, referring to the church, said, on their way to the Holy Land, pilgrims very often stopped at Bari. It was kind of a meeting point, you know, in Europe. People would maybe take a ship over to the Holy Land. And the Pope said, how can we not recognize that this beautiful church reawakens within us nostalgia for full unity, and upholds our commitment to work for full union among all Christ's disciples. And I think that had his message only been two or three sentences, that one sentence alone would have struck the listeners. An important moment for the Russian Patriarchate, for sure, for sure.
And a warm thanks there to Joan Lewis, the Rome Bureau Chief for EWTN.